Thanks for joining us here at Generation Church North Georgia, where our desire is to bring people of all generations into a fresh relationship with God. If your life has been impacted by our teaching and you would like to share your story, please visit us online at generationchurchnga.org, where you will find the Share Your Story link. There you can also find more information about our church and an archive of past sermons. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray you be encouraged by today's message.
Royalties. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Me too.
You too. Isn't God good? God is so good. Don't worry, I am aware today that you do have family get-togethers. We got one too, and the Lord did give me a long message, and every time I say that, it gets long, so I'm not going to say that. I take that back. I believe God's got a word to speak to us today. I believe every time we get up here, God should have a word to speak to us. A challenge us, that motivates our life to do what God said. And it is so good. I know there's a lot of guests here. Especially good person that was helped us a lot in the beginning of our church, Nate and Lisa Camp. Nate, amen. Nate is actually, you preached 2-3 times here, haven't you, Nate? If y'all need to aggravate him because he don't want to do it again, I'm like, Nate, come on, man, help the guy out. But his company was very instrumental. It's called Start Church. Very instrumental. Help us to put together most of our policies and things, and they sewed into us. And I'm always humbled when I think about it, what the part that you guys have played is Gary's son. And so don't hold that against Nate. But you honor us today being here. Thank you so much. And all of you do. Taking the time to be here to worship God on a Passover. I don't like calling it, I like to call it Passover Sunday morning. Amen. Just a couple scriptures right here. John, the Gospel of John, verses 19. Chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. I had the Lord speak this to me early. Well, in fact, it was about 2 weeks ago, gave me the title to it, and it's just been kind of the trickle effect coming in. But it's really been good to kind of dwell on it. You know, I would recommend every one of you get a scripture in your heart that you can dwell on during the day. Something is kind of default setting that your mind can go back to and you dwell on. Do you know this scripture? This is starting with verse 28. After this, Jesus, listen to the words of this scripture, it's powerful. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was said a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The literal dying, the death of Jesus. I want to use for a thought this morning. I told you the title last Sunday, it is finished, but it's not over. It's finished, but it's not over. Amen? I really believe that in my spirit. I've had the Holy Ghost just drill that in me. And I want to minister just a few minutes on that topic. Father, I just pray this morning the extra help of the unction of the Holy Spirit. This is our Super Bowl day, Father. Our greatest day, resurrection, when you came out of the grave, alive forevermore, and I just praise you for it. I'm humbled by it, Father, that you've allowed me to be in the kingdom. Father, I don't take it for granted. Thank you that you saved me, that you redeemed me, that you made something out of nothing. Father, that's all of us. That's every one of our testimonies this morning. Lord, if it wasn't for your grace, if it wasn't for your mercy, none of us would be here today. So I thank you for it. Let this word go forth in power and anointing. I pray for signs and wonders and miracles to follow as your word says would happen. So I stand on it. I give you all the praise and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's not over as you're being seated. It's not over. Hallelujah. That's wonderful to hear those words. Amen. We don't understand the scope of when Jesus said, "It is finished." I begin to look at it and to think about it, and it's like, okay, Lord, what does it really mean? How big it was. For many people, it's just three words that are put out there. But it was a statement that was huge. It was a statement that was great. It was a statement that was 4,000 years in the making. Been prophesied about. It was 4,000 years, this one moment that was going to be there. On the way to making this statement, I did a lot of research, and I found out Jesus fulfilled, we know, at least 365 prophecies. I want you really to understand the magnitude of Christ's life. They were from multiple people that didn't know each other. That was in different generations, at different locations and countries. And they come from various backgrounds. It is absolutely impossible to fulfill all of these things unless it was of God. I've heard the story many times that had been said that, and somebody likened it, said if you took the state of Texas and you filled it, I think it was 2 foot deep full of silver dollars, and you put a dot on one of the silver dollars and you just mix it in there, the probability of this coming true, of the gospel being true, is the same as the probability of you reaching in the first time and getting that silver dollar. It is almost unheard of. And actually, I read where a mathematician, that is really just a drop in the bucket for the probabilities of what would happen. Jesus was careful to fulfill all of these things that had to happen. He had, when he was born and throughout his life, he had a sense of purpose. He would go out every day and pray to the Father, and he needed guidance on, Lord, this is what I need to do. This is what needs to take place. And you could tell it in his conversation that he would do, because he would go and tell people, he said, he would tell John the Baptist, we've got to do this. Why? Because they were under constraints of prophecy that said these things had to happen. They had to take place. Jesus was always praying, and he would go out and say, Father, thy will be done. Whatever you want, Father, that's what I want to do. I want your will to be done in my life. And he would fulfill that, and he would do it, because that sense of purpose that was in his life, he fulfilled all things. And the scripture right here in our text said, and he knew that all things were purposed, was finished, was done. Now we find him in the garden. His life has been completed, 33 and one-third years that he has lived on this earth. And he's in the garden, and he's about to be betrayed by one of his greatest confidants, which is Judah. He's going to be betrayed by a kiss that is coming. And when Judas walks up in the garden after Jesus has prayed all this night long, and the word said that he prayed as if drops of sweat would come out of his body, of blood that happened, that as he prayed this happened, and now we find him being led away to the mockery of a trial. It's what is called trial. That is just, it was a joke. It was a kangaroo court. It was one of those that the decision was in before the trial ever started. Sounds similar to a lot of things today. He was beaten and bruised. He was beyond recognition. He went through things that no human being should ever have to go through. The suffering that went onto his body, it's just when you think about it, that 39 stripes laid on his body, beat with the cat of nine tails. It's just unthinkable. And I think so many times we isolate ourselves from the reality of what really happened. And we see it that Jesus is beaten, he's bloodied, he's broken. And he's making the sacrifice, and then to cap insult upon injury, they want him to carry his own cross. His body is so weak, the loss of blood that's in his body, and probably he hasn't had anything to drink. That's how come he's thirsty. And in doing this, he's having to carry the cross. And the cross is so heavy because he's so weak that he falls underneath the load, and they get Simon to help him carry his cross. And we see that the Roman soldiers, they nailed him to the cross. And now then, in our text, he is at the very last moments of his life that is being there. And in these last moments, there's a pail of vinegar that is set into the side right there. And so he cries out in the natural state, I'm thirsty. Can I get just a little bit to drink? And so they take the sponge and they reach it and they put it in the pail and they begin to soak it up to where it is full of it. And they take the hyssop and they put it up and they put it to his mouth. And as he's doing that, his mouth, and I think he tastes it, because if I taste vinegar, I say, don't need that. Then all of a sudden he turns and he utters these words and he cries out, it is finished. The sound of these three words right here have been 4,000 years in the making. And I believe that everything that was ever created by God Almighty heard the words that from that cross right there on Golgotha's hill. They heard, "It is finished," went throughout the universe. I believe it went throughout heaven, it went throughout hell, it went throughout every universe that's ever been created. Those words, that was so powerful. And he said, "It is finished." But when he said, "It is finished," what did he really mean? What did it really mean where he says, "It is finished, it's done, it's over with"? And John, and I'm going to give you a lot of scripts this morning, John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus is praying before he goes into the crucifixion, and he makes this statement, "I have finished the job. I've done the work that you've called me to do, which thou hast given me, O Father." That's what we talked about in our prayer meeting Tuesday night, John 17. He said, "I finished it. I've done everything. I'm ready to go there." And what he was saying, it was the very same words that the Apostle Paul, when he said, "I have finished my course." The word literally means that he said, "I have accomplished. I've been successful in everything that you have done." In other words, Jesus was saying this, that "I've done everything that I need to do on this side of the grave. Everything that has been prophesied about me, everything that I was told to do, Father, I've been faithful to the calling and everything that was there. And I've done every bit of it." When these words went forth from the cross, Jesus was saying this. When he said, "It is finished," he said this, "I'm ending it here. I'm ending it right now. I'm ending this earthly life that is here. This is the moment that history and prophecy has been waiting for. That since Adam fell in the garden, it's been waiting on that this moment to where the Savior on the cross would cry out, 'It is finished.' It's the moment that all of the people are listening throughout the ages that has finally come. And that word is saying, and here's what he was saying, 'My earthly assignment is over. I've done it all. I've done everything.'" But can I ask you this morning, does that mean that there's nothing else to do? Does that mean that all we can do is sit back now and say, "Well, Jesus said it's finished. I don't have to do anything now. It's all done. It's all over with." But see, that's what we think when we hear the word "it is finished." We think there's nothing else to be done. But you've got to understand this, that Jesus was dimensionally speaking. He was speaking into the dimension of the natural realm. Is what he was speaking in. And we forget that sometimes. See, here's what you have to do. Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. You have to finish a task before you can go on to another one. Jesus was saying, "I finished the task in this natural body. I finished the task in this world." The problem is too many people are leaving things undone. It simply means this: it is finished, but it's not over. That's what it was. I finished on this side, but it don't mean that you can quit and you can stop. It means that it is not over. Everything that happened is that when Jesus closed his eyes to one world, he closed to this natural world. When he opened it one split second later, he opened his eyes into another world. He simply crossed from one dimension to another dimension. He crossed off of a cross on Calvary into the dimension of the spirit realm is what happened to the physical body of Jesus that was nailed on the cross. It died, but something happened that nobody could see. That spirit man got up on that third day. That spirit man got up when he died. Yes, it was hanging there, and he said, "It is finished." But when it did, it just woke up the spirit man Jesus, and he was about to ready to do some business. And I want to tell you, I believe the Holy Ghost is here this morning to do some business in the house. If you believe it, give him a praise. Hallelujah. 1 Peter said this, Jesus was put to death in the flesh. I got scripture for it. But quickened by the Spirit. When that flesh man died, everybody, "Oh, it's done. It's over, Pastor. They're not there anymore." It's just getting started is what's happening. Because it was the Spirit that began to quicken his body. They laid that flesh body in a tomb and they rolled a stone over it thinking that they could stop him. But they were dimensionally seeing in the natural realm. They didn't understand. But all it did, the Spirit man Jesus had been released to get some other things started. And I want you to know for 2,000 years, it has never stopped. He is still on the throne at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. I want you to tell you this morning, it is finished, but it is not over yet. Hallelujah. Now then, here's what's so cool. Jesus is personally taking the fight to Satan. Yeah, that physical body's hanging on that cross. But can I tell you this morning that Jesus, when he entered back into that spirit realm, he was back on home field territory. He was back on what he created before the times, before the worlds ever began, before in Genesis 1:1 when the Spirit spake and the worlds were formed out. Jesus was now back on home territory, what he was created. I want you to know this morning that my Heavenly Father, my Savior, is in home territory today. He is not a visiting team. He's a home team, and he has the advantage. And I want you to know this morning, we win. I've done turned to the back of the book, and we win the game. See, things are going just as planned. See, you got to understand something. God has never been out of control. Now, you might think that your life is going crazy and going nuts, but can I tell you, it's not out of control. It's not. Jesus, in Matthew 12 and verse 40, Jesus told the disciples, as Jonah was 3 days in the earth, he said, so will the Son of Man be. He died as a sacrificial lamb is what happened to him. But when he entered into the spirit world, it was the lion of the tribe of Judah. I believe he said kind of quietly, it is finished. But I believe, I think about this scene in a movie that when he went into the spirit world, he said, hello, boys, I'm back. I'm back here again. I'm about to show myself. He knew. What Jesus knew is there was a big shift. There was about to be a turnaround. The second that his head folded on that cross was just the beginning of the greatest warfare that has ever been seen on the face of this earth. Because 1 Peter 3:19, it tells me, and he went, this is what it is, and preached unto the spirits in prison and the saints of old that had been waiting for him. And you know what he did when he got down there? He said, boys, it's time for liberty. It's time for rejoicing. It's time for freedom to happen. And he went down into the innermost parts of hell, and he led captivity captive. He got the captive free. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus is wanting to do the very same thing in this house this morning. I want to tell you, if you're bound up, you can be free in Jesus' name. There don't have to be no chains on you that are holding you. It was the message of liberty and freedom. I want you to know that Jesus beat the devil on his own territory. There was a raid that went. Special forces went down to hell and it raided it out. It said, it's time for freedom. It's time for deliverance. And I want you to know that the same can be true for your life today. See, I want to throw this scripture. Colossians 2:15. I begin to read these scriptures. I just got excited. Here's what he did when he's down there in the grave. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. I want you to know it wasn't done in secret. It wasn't done behind a veil somewhere. I know CNN wasn't there and Fox and ABC News wasn't there to cover what was going on. But I want you to know that it was not done in secret. For the word said he made a show of every demon, every devil, every imp that would try to come against you. They know they have already been whipped in the court of public opinion. And I want you to know that my Jesus did a public victory and everything can be free in your life. This is not a secret thing that is going. This is broadcast throughout the heavens that my Jesus is alive and well, and he's already defeated the devil and every demon in hell for you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what it said. Jesus marched out of hell with the keys of every stronghold and bondage. He said, I got the keys so that nothing could ever hold you and I prisoner again. But I read another scripture in the Lord. This is where the Lord began to burn this in and begin to bring it around me. And here's what it said. And when he marched out, Ephesians 4:8 said this. He didn't leave us empty-handed. When he ascended on high, here's what it said. And he led captivity captive, and he didn't stop there. He gave gifts unto men. 3 days Jesus had been working in the lower parts of the earth. But on the third day, his prophecy to the disciples would happen. Here's what he said in John 2:19. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Amen. You can take it down all you want to, and that's going to happen. But he let them know, you might think it's over, but it's not. Listen to this scripture right here. Revelation 1:8. Here's what Jesus said. I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. So here's what he's saying. There is still more to be done. It's not over. How do I know that? And this is where I wanted to bring us to. We're going to be just a few minutes here. How do I know there's more for us to do? Because Ephesians 4:8 said this. He gave gifts unto men. Now my logic, I deal in scripture. My logic, I want to share my logic with you. How do I know that there's more for us to do? If it was all finished and forever, and all I have to do is just sit around and just wait for Jesus to come, you know, just button down the hatchet. Okay, Jesus, would you hurry up and come? I'm just waiting here for you. If there's nothing left to do, why did he give us gifts? Why did he do it? If it's finished, if it's done, if it's over, why are you giving me gifts? Not just gifts, but empowerment gifts. You're giving me gifts that I can go in and I can do. You wanted me to have power in my life. And Jesus, if it's all finished, if what you said on the cross, it's all finished and done, and we as a church, we got nothing. And see, that's what bothers me about these cessations. Oh, it's all over, it's all done. We're just, No. He gave gifts unto men because it is not over. Because it is actually just getting started. That's what's really happening right here. People have called it the wrong way. See, here's what happened. Jesus placed the mantle on us. When he said it is finished on the cross, and when he come out on the third day, what he began to do then, he began to lay the mantle upon us. This little prayer shawl right here, I want to use this like a mantle. What he did, he said, hey, it's time to get under the mantle. It's time to get under the anointing. It's time to get under the calling. It's time to get under. I said it is finished in the natural realm, but there's still things that you got to do. I want to tell you something, Generation Church. There's still things that we got to do in this world that we are living in. And as long as we are alive and breathing and breathing our body, there's an anointing and a power that is upon you and I to carry out the will and the plan of God. And I'm here to tell you this. I want to rile you up this morning. I want to shake you up. I want to put gunpowder down on the inside of your guts this morning and light a match and get it exploded in the Holy Ghost and let you know there is still more to be done. It might be finished on the cross, but it's not over today. There's still a plan God's got for your life. See, he placed the mantle on us. Prove it to you scripturally, because I knew some of you would say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. John 20, 21. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus said, I was under a mandate to do some stuff. I'm putting you under the same mandate. I'm putting you under the same calling. I'm putting you under the same anointing. Here's what he said in Mark 16 and 15. Go you into all the world and to preach the gospel. And in verse 17 of that very same chapter. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I want you to know if it's all over and if it's all done, then we don't need the gifts. But I want you to know I need every gift. I need every empowerment. I need every gift of the Holy Ghost in my life. Because there's a job that is assigned to my life. And I'm saying, yes, Lord, I receive it. And I want to do it. So go ahead and let me be about the Father's business in the kingdom. Give him praise. After Jesus come out of the grave, made the bodily resurrection, seen him in. Before he was taken, here's what he said. Matthew 28 and 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But then he didn't stop there. He gave the rest of it. Go therefore. Because it's not over. If it was over, if everything was finished, if everything was done, then why do you need to go? He said, because I've got all power, because I've got everything that I need, because I beat the devil in hell, because I resurrected on the third day, because I give gifts unto men, because of that, it is up to you to go and do what you need to do in this life. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus is still calling to his church today and telling us it's not time to raise a white flag and surrender. It's not the time to say, well, we can't do anything or the conditions aren't right. I'm here to tell you it is time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand under power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and allow God once again to move in our services and do what he wants to do in the earth in these last days. But there's still a prophecy. Oh, you can go ahead and come. Make people feel better. It don't mean nothing though. But there's still a prophecy that says there's more. Matthew 16 and 18, and the Holy Spirit began to draw me back to this. Christ tells Peter, I will, talking about the revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all this, if you know what there was at the head of the Jordan doing that. And he tells Peter, I will build my church. Well, there is no church. There is no church there. What are you talking about? He's got a bunch of 12 disciples just hanging around. There is no church. You can hang just a second. I'll give it to you. And so, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I said, okay, God, that's cool. But he made another statement. He said, and I will give. Do you realize that right there he did not give the keys of the kingdom? It's a prophecy. He said, I will give it. It's not happened yet. And I began to look at it and say, Lord, but you're saying it is finished. What he was telling, he was speaking prophetically. He was saying, you will have the authority to bind and to loose in this earth. It never happened until Jesus got up. That's why he said, it is finished, but it's not over. He said, there's going to be some keys. I've got to go down and get them for you. I've got to go down into the lower parts of the earth, and I'm going to snatch back what the enemy has taken. But boys, there's coming a day that you will have heard me say it is finished, but I want you to know it's not over. There is still a work that you're going to have to do. But not only are you going to do that, I'm going to give you the keys to every lock of everything that you ever need to get a hold of. There will not be anything that will stop the kingdom of God from moving in your life. And I've come here to tell you this morning, there is not a lock the devil has made that Jesus don't own the key to. In fact is, we is the church. We've got the keys. He said, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall, go ahead. And whatsoever you shall, it shall be loosed in heaven also. I've come to tell somebody this morning, it is finished, but it's not over. Because I'm like J.D. Soasby, I believe we're on the last lap of this thing. I believe we're rounding the corner and it's about to be over. But I'm here to tell you, it's about to be the greatest lap that church has ever seen. Why? Because it's not over yet. I believe the finest days of the kingdom are ahead of us. I'm not down and out about the kingdom of God, about the church, about everybody falling and doing this and that. I'm here to tell you, we're about to go up is what we're about to do. Hallelujah. See, instruction was this. And I said, Lord, I don't want to get into my Pentecost message. He said, dabble in it a little bit. He instructed him, tarry till you receive power. You know, it's one thing to have a gun, it's another thing to have a bullet in it. Yeah, I don't know if as long as y'all knew, back in a couple years ago, I actually had a 9mm here in church. I upset a few people. It's okay, it didn't bother me to upset people. But it was down here in the back of my thing, and I told him, I pulled that thing out and I said, you see this gun? And they're like, yeah, we see it, Pastor. I hope you're not mad. I'm not mad. Y'all better be smiling, though. A lot of people waving a gun, but they got no bullets in it. It'll go for so long. You in Buffalo, some people, they'll just see that thing and scare them to death. But until one day comes out, somebody's going to challenge you. That's when you need to slide. And I slipped that clip into that thing. I said, that's the Holy Ghost, what that is. You got a gun, which is the word. It's all these other things. But when you slip, and it is a gun, you can take that gun and you can take and beat somebody to death with it. Or you can slap that Holy Ghost in and boom. That's what Jesus said, you need power. If anything the church has ever needed today, the greatest need of the modern church right now, it's not another light, it's not another fog machine, it is not another star to perform on a stage, it's not what it is. If we've ever had a need, what we need is the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our churches, because nothing else will break bondages off of men and women's lives except the move of God's power. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's finished, but it's not over. And I believe we're seeing Holy Ghost power return to the church like we've never seen it. And I'm saying, go ahead, Lord, I'm ready. Just go ahead and let the impartation. And he told the disciples, you tarry in that upper room until you receive power from on high. I tell you why? Because I want you to finish what I started, is what Jesus was saying. I want you to finish what I've started. I finished in this dimension. And I'm no longer in this dimension, but I have left you here. And there's a work that you need to accomplish. There's a thing that you need to do. I say, here's what I think. This is my own impression of the Holy Spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, that son, I saw down through time. I saw 2,000 years sitting on that cross. I was there, and I said, it is finished. But my word is going out to Generation Church on the Sunday morning of March 31st, that you bring that word to them and you let them know that it might be finished in this realm right here, but it's not over. That I've called them to go into North Georgia, go into White County, Habersham County, Stevens County, and carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with power and authority, and as they go, cast out devils, raise the sick, raise the dead, heal the sick. Whatever you need to do, do it in the name of Jesus, because we have been empowered to finish the work that Jesus started in this earth. And I'm here to tell you, I'm ready for the challenge today. I'm saying it might be finished, but it's not over by any scope of the means. Hallelujah. See, go ahead and stand with me. Here's what the Holy Spirit just specifically directed me in this. He said, you might feel like it's finished. I know who I'm speaking to this morning in the spirit realm. You might feel like it's finished. You say, I messed up too bad, Pastor. But I come with a word from the Holy Spirit that says it's not over. I didn't say you didn't mess up. Others have said you're done. But the Holy Spirit told me to tell you it's not over. Some of you got a bad doctor's report. But it's not over. It's not over. Some of you got some wayward children. It's not over. It's not over. I know the devil's jumping on your shoulder telling you, I'm going to take them down. They're off. They're in all kinds of craziness, weird stuff that's going on. That things are in it. Listen, there's temptations this world has never seen that are happening to our youth right now. I'm telling you, it's not over. Some of you here this morning, you say, Pastor, you don't understand. I failed miserably. You don't understand. I allowed this to come in my life. I allowed this to happen. I allowed these things. I don't care. I don't care. Hear the word of the Lord to you this morning. It's not over. It's not over. Your greatest days are ahead of you on this Resurrection Sunday morning. I come to decree and declare to you that your life is not over. Your calling has not been taken away from you. The anointing that you've had in the Holy Spirit, He wants it back onto your life. It might be finished in some realms, but it's not over in God's realm. It's time that we as a church, we do some binding and loosing. We got the keys. We've got the keys this morning. Can I tell you, it's not over till Jesus says it's over? Hear what I'm saying. It's not over till Jesus says it's over. I've had people look at my life many different times. Well, that boy's done in. You don't know the power of the cross. That's why I get so amazed and humored about that people want to say it's over, it's done, it's finished, it's no more. And Jesus hung on the cross. That pastor, all you're doing is preaching about an archaic, ancient figure that was on a cross that historically was there. But don't you know it's over? No, I don't know it's over. Because the Holy Spirit in me says, it's not over. There's still more to be done. There's still more to happen. There's still more to take place. See, that's what the gospel is all about. It's about a resurrection in your life. And you might feel this morning like you're laying in death. And you might feel like that everything's trying to consume you and it's trying to take you down. But can I tell you this morning, that's what today is all about. Passover Sunday is about a resurrection that happens. And I want you to know that there is a resurrection for you today in this house. That you might be down. You might be pushed down. You might be beaten up. But I want you to know that if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, your greatest days are ahead of you. They are not behind you. They are not in the past. I want you to know that it's not over till Jesus says it's over. They told Moses, you're done. They told David, you're done. Many thought that Peter, you're finished. Peter, you did the ultimate. Will be recorded forever that you denied Jesus. But I hear the words of Jesus. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. It's not over. I've come with a word this morning to some of you. It's not over. It's not over. I know you might feel like that this morning, but I'm telling you, this is Resurrection Sunday. And this is the Sunday that transformation can happen to you in your life. Every head bowed across this building. Pastor, I'm here this morning. I've got the greatest need of my life, and that's knowing Jesus is my Savior. I don't know Him. I'm just being that bold and that blatant and that honest. This is not the time to mince words. This is not the time to play games. I don't know Jesus, and I need to know Jesus is my Savior. We're not going to embarrass you, but if you'd be bold enough to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus is my Savior. Is there one that would raise your hand?
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message from Generation Church, North Georgia. Please stay connected with us by subscribing to our podcast and help us to spread the good news of Jesus by sharing today's message with your friends. You can also connect with us on social media via Facebook or Instagram. Until next time, God bless.